Let me ask you a question. Do you need more strength? Do you need more strength at your job? Do you need more strength parenting? Do you need more strength in your marriage? Do you need more strength resisting temptation or fighting some addiction? Do you need more strength in some kind of illness you have? Of course, that's an easy answer then. We all do, right? We all need more strength. And C.S. Lewis, when he was writing The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, he had to come up with a character for Jesus, and so he picked a lion. Now, that makes sense because it represents strength and power and so forth. But he didn't just pull it out of the air, did he? God is described that way often in Scripture, so I put one of the references to that on your outline. A little bit different image of God than sometimes we think. The lion, or God, has roared, tremble in fear. The sovereign Lord has spoken. And there's lots of aspects to God, and this is one. So let me ask you, when you picture God in your mind, how do you picture him? Now, most of the pictures we see in books and stuff, Jesus is sitting around, sitting with kids on his lap, or a little lamb beside him, or something like that, isn't it? So what kind of image do you usually think of when you think of Jesus? Well, that's the image that comes to mind. Jesus is a kind and compassionate type, loving person. But that's only part of who Jesus is. Jesus probably was a carpenter like his father. Probably had a muscular body. Probably had calloused hands. A very powerful person physically. But he was also God, so he had God's power. And as God, he had a fierce, I'm going to even use the word temper, when it comes to injustice. So we're going to put a picture up on your screen. I'm going to ask how many of you think of Jesus that way. Anybody? Nobody. I didn't get anybody in all three services. That's amazing to me because then we're going to read the next scripture that describes Jesus just that way. It's in John chapter 2. It's actually the beginning of his ministry. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the oxen, scattered the money changers, coins all over the floor, turned over the tables. Then going over to the people who sowed doves, he said to them, "Get these things out of here. Don't turn my father's house into a marketplace." If you read scripture later on, he does it again. So God's just not a milquetoast God. He's also a God of power and strength. As the children are meeting characters in Narnia, they come across Mrs. Beaver. And he's talking about Aslan, and they've not met Aslan. So they ask the question, is it safe to be around Aslan? And I put his response on your outline, because this has fascinated me. Mr. Beaver responds, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the king, I tell you." I don't know what image you have of Jesus. And maybe you don't hear this too often, but he's not safe. In fact, he's dangerous. If you invite Jesus into your life, he will turn your life upside down. But it's good. But it's good. Question for the day, what does a lion do for me? Or what should I, or why should I have Jesus in my life? Good question, huh? And for starters, God's limitless power is available to you. And probably the key passage this morning is this one in Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that you will begin to understand, and that's my prayer for you, that you'll begin to understand the incredible greatness of His, God's, power for who? For us. Now, we know God has His power, but God's power is not just for Him. It is for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor, God's right hand in the heavenly realms. We have a physics professor in the first service. I said, there's great power in splitting the atom, right? But that power can't bring people back to life, can it? We're talking about a greater power, a supernatural power that can change death into life. It's important that you and I get this because we often go around discouraged, defeated, depressed. Why? The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us, folks. Talk about three things this morning, about how this works. First, by Jesus offering us significance. He offers us significance. Purpose or meaning, if you prefer those words. Another quote from the book that just kind of, I can't get out of my mind, is this one. Because the white witch has got control in Narnia, I forget the character who says it, but it says this to Lucy, it is always winter, but never Christmas. Now let this just sink in for a second. Can you imagine getting past Thanksgiving? The days are getting really short, the nights are getting long, the temperatures are getting really cold. Ryan was gone this last week to Texas. He said, he didn't get above freezing a couple times this past week. And no Christmas to look forward to? See, it doesn't seem so bad now, does it? We got Christmas lights up and people are buying stuff and we're looking forward to Christmas, getting together with friends and celebrating and exchanging gifts. So it doesn't quite seem so bad. Can you imagine getting to December with no Christmas? It'd be horrible, wouldn't it? And they did it for 100 years in Narnia. Narnia had lost its significance. Life had lost its significance. Remember last week when Aslan had shown up, Santa Claus came back. And the ice started melting and people began to start celebrating. Let me ask you an important question. Do you think being a Christian makes you life harder and more boring? Most people out there would say so. That's why they're not, right? Why do you want to be a Christian? You got to follow those rules, and that's no fun. Maybe that's how you feel. Well, that's not the way God describes it. Jesus is waiting to bring significance and even adventure to your life. I realize it's a message paraphrase, but I like the way it states this. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, and I think that's a good description of the Christian life, don't you? Is the one who invited you into this wonderful friendship with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He will never give up on you and never forget that. So it's God's desire that you be an adventure. Now, when you think of the word adventure, what do you think of? I think of my blood pumping, adrenaline flowing, you know, excitement, fun, a sense of anticipation. So when I mention the Christian life, is that what you think of? That's what we should think of. We all need a life of adventure, a life that matters, a life that's significant. Let me just warn you, it is dangerous, even risky. See, God's never going to let you get too comfortable. Why? Because it's boring. Comfortable's boring. Now, I like to be bored sometimes, I know, but none of us are wired that way. We need a new challenge. We need adventure. We need something that makes us significant. Now, when I think about this, I got mixed feelings, though. There's excitement, but there's also a little scary, isn't it? When God calls you out of your comfort zone, it's scary. When I got up to preach my first sermon, it was scary. Whenever you start to do something different, it is scary. When I ran my first JFK, it was scary. Still a little scary, to tell you the truth. But it's fun. It gets your blood flowing. It adds life. It adds meaning, significance. It's real living. I guess the best way to say it, isn't it? So if your life is boring, or if you think Christian life is boring, let me be blunt. You're not following the lion. Because following the lion is not boring. So let me give you some suggestions. First, commit yourself to at least 1 hour a week to doing something for somebody else. Just serving somebody else. Doing something to help somebody else. You know, back in Thanksgiving, I was thinking of things I'm being thankful for. You know the first thing I thought of? Grant? Our missions trip. I mean, other than Jesus and my family and those type of things. But things that were different this year than past years, my missions trip. I talked to Pastor Ken this week. Things are going pretty well for him. I thank you for the guys that went. I thank you for the church there. I thank you for the pastor. I thank you for the ministry up there. Now, it would have been more comfortable, I guess, staying here that week, right? But that week added significance to my life, and I think the other four of you guys that went too. Ask any of them. Does your life make a difference? I think our life made a difference that week. Verse that probably you're familiar with. Jesus speaking says, I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full, to its overflowing, a satisfying life, another translation says. Does that describe your life? So Jesus offers us significance. Secondly, Jesus offers us strength. The children in Narnia, they know about the White Witch, and they decided to fight her, to join the forces of good, we would say, and fight the White Witch. So how's the battle go? Well, it doesn't go too well. I'm going to show you a clip from the movie that demonstrates this.
Is finished.
So often we're like Peter and the other children. We know what's right to do. We know what's good. We try and do what's good. But as long as you do it in your own strength, guess what happens? You're going to fail. What was the turning point in the battle? When Aslan joined the forces of good. You ever been in a situation you couldn't handle on your own? Share one of mine. I was a couple years ago around 4th of July. I was running on the trail with David, and he was running ahead of me. And some of you were here then. I fell and hit my head, and I couldn't tell what was wrong. I know blood was dripping off of my head, and I yelled to David, but he was too far ahead of me to hear, and he's just running away from me. And I hurt my hip, and so I get up, and I'm kind of limping. I'm about 5 miles from my car at this point, back toward my car, completely helpless. Of course, David eventually, probably 45 minutes later, caught up with me and helped me get back home. But maybe you feel helpless this morning. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe your marriage just isn't working. Maybe your bills at the end of the month are more than you can pay. Maybe you've got some. We've got a lady in first services battling cancer. Maybe you have an addiction or a temptation that you're defeated by. You don't know what to do. Well, are you strong enough to get through on your own? Now, Scripture makes it clear, absolutely not. You're not strong enough. But establish a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He makes the power available to you. Let's try and demonstrate this morning. All right, I'm going to do some work with this tool. Grant, what's the matter with this thing? It's not working very well. What is this thing for? This got some significance? Oh, you know what? It looks like it might fit into this thing in the wall over here. Ah, now I could do some damage, can't I? Same tool, what's the difference? I was trying just as hard. It wasn't plugged in. It worked perfectly fine once it was plugged in to the power source. Same is true of you and I. Tremendous promise of Scripture in Isaiah. You guys sang that song this morning, you're doing it later? Did it last week, anyway. He, who's he? God gives power to who? Those who are tired, worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Anybody relate? Tired, worn out, and weak. Even youths will become exhausted and young men will give up. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. You need new strength? They'll fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Let's be honest. Some of you have come here this morning overwhelmed by your life. And your hope is that there's some kind of answer. God has some kind of answer. You know, I'll give you some kind of answer. There's some kind of hope. Well, God promises you who wait on him hope, new strength. Not only when you're tired and worn out, but I put another verse on your outline to deal with those temptations and evil desires. He gives us more and more strength to stand against the evil desires. Here's the key, though. You've got to tap into the strength. You know, I'm a long-distance runner. You think I could be a successful long-distance runner running at 1 hour a week? Anybody think I could do that? Some of you, maybe you want to learn a foreign language. You think you could learn a foreign language in 1 hour a week? I learn anything in just 1 hour a week. You can't do it. But people come to church, say, I'm going to give God 1 hour a week and expect to be successful at it, expect to have the strength they need. I couldn't run 50 miles if I only ran 1 hour a week. And one reason you and I don't have the strength we need, we don't spend the time in training, if you will, spend time with God. So we say you need to do it on a daily basis. You miss one day here and there, that's not critical. But you got to do it more than 1 hour a week. It just won't work. The problem's not with God. The problem's with us. The strength's there. You just have to tap into it. Now, Christmas is fun for most people, but it may not be fun for you this time of year. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Cliff, first Christmas without your mom. Be my second without mine. Thanksgiving, the second time around, was a little easier. Hopefully Christmas will be too. And maybe you don't have a significant other in your family, or maybe you don't have any money to buy presents for your loved ones, and it's not easy. Well, it's a great promise in Philippians chapter 4. It says this, for I can do everything. Everything means everything. With the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. Carolyn Campbell, the lady dealing with cancer in the first service, when she left the first service, she said, this is my verse for my ordeal I'm going through right now. I didn't know that, but she told me afterwards. So Jesus offers us strength. He offers us significance. And thirdly, he offers us salvation. The white witch comes to the assembly of people, including Aslan and the children, and says, because of Edmund's betrayal, that the law, the blood, unless I have blood as the law demands, all Narnia will perish. And Aslan's response is that there's a deeper magic or deeper law. And we're going to see what he meant by that in this clip here.
The great lion.
Human traitor. You are giving me your life.
I'm saving no one.
So much for love.
That's a fantasy. Our lives are real. It's serious, isn't it? You and I, like Edmund, have been tricked. Maybe even doubting God's existence. Figure we can do what we want. Act like we want. Have as much fun as we want, or what we think is fun. We believe the lies. We turn our back on God. God calls that sin. It separates us from God. Keeps us from experiencing the significance and the strength we talked about. But there was a greater magic or greater law, that one who was without sin came and took our place. So we can have a new life, be born again, a new relationship, actually live forever. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14 describe this. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful life was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross or to a lion on the table. So how do you and I benefit from this? Well, I put another verse on your outline, John chapter 1. It describes what we need to do. To all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. So you and I need to believe and accept him. Plug into the power source. I don't know if you've noticed, but all 3 points of the teaching this morning, there was the word offer. Offer significance, offer strength, offer salvation. God never forces. It's a choice. It's left up to you and I to decide. So I put the choice on your outline. No matter my situation, Jesus is strong enough. Agree or disagree? Is he strong enough to give your life significance? Is he strong enough to give you the strength you need? Is he strong enough to provide for your salvation, to reestablish your relationship with God? If you're that single mom or that struggling marriage or that person who can't pay his bills, that person fighting cancer or some addiction. Jesus already did his part. Done a long time ago. It's up to you and I to accept, receive the gift. As we said last week, I want to say it again. We know how the story ends. Revelation chapter 5, 5. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has, and again I'll say that's past tense, has conquered. Show you a video, final video clip that powerfully demonstrates this.
We should go. What have they done?
Sacrifice. She might have interpreted the deep magic differently. That when a willing victim who has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead, the stone table will crack. And even death itself would turn backwards.
We sent the news that you were dead. Peter and Edmund will have gone to war. We have to help them.
We will, dear one. But not alone. Climb on my back. We have far to go, and little time to get there. And you may want to cover your ears.
that powerful? He's won. My next step today is to trust that Jesus is strong enough to handle. You put in your battle. Let's pray. Thank you, God. The victory's already been won. The grave is empty. Death has been defeated. Father, we thank you, and I pray for anyone here that has never received your gift. We thank you for the priceless, priceless gift of salvation. Free to us, but so very costly to you. It's my privilege, if you're not a Christ follower here this morning, for me to offer the gift to you, to accept and believe and receive. It's your choice. It's offered. And God, for us that are Christ followers, believers, God, help us to understand the power that's available to us. That we should have victory in our parenting and victory in our finances and victory in our relationships and victory against temptation. Oh, we thank you that you still forgive us, God. But oh, we forgive us for being weak, mostly because we try and do it in our own strength, God. Forgive us for not believing in yours. Father, I pray for everyone here. I don't know. We all have things in our lives that are difficult, whether it be people or illnesses or finances or whatever it might be. God, that we would walk in victory. Maybe we can't even see the answer. We see the solution. But we're choosing. It's our choice. We're choosing to believe. And God, we know that you'll prove yourself to be faithful. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My prayer is that God has touched your life this morning, that he has changed you. I'd warn you again, he's dangerous. He's not safe, but he's good. Let us know about your decisions. Thank you.